How great. Special song to me. Very special. God is great. Yes. Aaron King. Lord, be thankful. There's a picture on the desktop that I need displayed on the screen real quick, please. It's a picture of Alex and Lauren. Get that up there, please. While they work on that, our God is good. Our God is great. And our God still does miracles. This man, you know, is a walking miracle. We had the privilege and honor of ordaining him last Sunday evening. And that was a special, special time. He went on Tuesday for surgery. You can see what the surgery entails, the removal of portion of his right leg. That was on Tuesday. Wednesday afternoon he came home. I met him at the house because Dad had a wheelchair that has the leg support, so I just wanted to get over there and we got him in the house. And I just looked at him, I said, "Brother, how you doing?" He looked at me and said, "Great. How are you?" He said, "Actually, I'm in less pain with this. This is not that much pressure, not a lot of speed. And it's so much better than having that foot. So God is still doing the work in his life. And if you know Alex, and if you've heard his testimony, he is, when I say a walking miracle, they said he wouldn't live. Then they said, well, he may live, but he'll never walk. And he's proved. God has proved that he has power over everything. God's not through with this man's life. Continue to pray for healing. Let me ask you to pray specifically when they folded the leg material up and sewed around the side there. That skin is most of his skin is either grafted skin or robbed, places where they robbed skin. So the skin is very thin and very fragile. Okay, the prayer is that where they sewed it together, the stitches hold, the skin is firm enough to hold, and it heals correctly. So in the meantime, Alex is forbidden to do anything except play the Xbox. I think he's talked somebody into letting him do that. But pray for healing, for complete healing. We want him back. We want him back soon. But listen, I want him back better. Okay, and if it takes longer, so be it. I want it right. I want him healed completely from that. Okay, he's got a long road ahead, and there are other things looking at prosthetics and all that down the road. So it won't be long. He'll be back with us and rocking and rolling like Alex does. And pray for Lauren as she tries to keep him down, which is a chore. But she has a great responsibility in trying to see to it that he minds. Looking after his cares and needs. He goes back to the doctor Tuesday, I believe. Is that right? Tuesday for a checkup, and they'll see how he's doing. And so just continue to pray for them. We love and appreciate them so much. And even Hunter, who I'm sure does something. We love you, Hunter. This morning, I want to talk about a story in Scripture. It's actually found in two passages, so I'm going to read both passages to you. The first one is in Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 25, and then the second one will be in Matthew 27. But this is at the trial of Jesus before Pilate. This one here, there were several trials that night when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and escorted off to the religious leaders, then to Pilate, then to Herod, and back to Pilate again, and that's where we find ourselves now. Pilate called together the chief priests, in verse 13 we read, the rulers and the people. And he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting people into rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. Verse 18. But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. Pilate decided to grant their demand. So he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. In Matthew 27, beginning in verse 15, we find a little more to this story. Verse 15 says, "Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At this time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. When the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?'" Jesus was not an uncommon name in those days. Not like, like today in the Hispanic culture, there are lots of people named Jesus. You spell Jesus J-E-S-U-S. Was not an uncommon name. So we find that there are two Jesuses there before the crowd. Pilate said, "Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Jesus Barabbas? Jesus, the one who's called the Messiah?" And the crowd chose Barabbas. I could ask which Jesus you want today. Jesus who's called the Messiah, or the Jesus of maybe our own making. But that's not what I'm going to preach about today. Although it would be a great sermon. Today I'm not going to preach about who Jesus is. Today I'm going to preach about who we are. Jesus was accused of blasphemy because he claimed to be God. Under Jewish law, this was punishable by death. Blasphemy was. Blasphemy is ascribing things of God to man. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." They cried blasphemy. A death penalty under Jewish law. But the Jews had this problem. You see, the Jews were in charge, but not really in charge. They were under the control of the Roman Empire. It was a Roman occupation, which meant there were military personnel, governing bodies of the Rome that were there in Jerusalem. And they ruled under Roman law, under the Roman Empire. They oversaw everything that the Jews did. Now the Romans, they let the Jewish people maintain their religious activities and even enforce certain laws. They allowed them to enforce certain laws, laws like you took too many steps on the Sabbath. You walked your donkey. You made cookies on the Sabbath day for dessert, whatever. They could enforce those kind of laws. But capital punishment was taken away from them by the occupying Romans. Okay? They could no longer take criminals outside the walls and stone them as they had done before.
So in the case of Jesus, they had to take him to the Roman court so that they could send him to his death. They could not do that. The religious leaders, they couldn't do that any longer. They had to let the Romans do that. Let me tell you something. The Romans were not shy about sending people to their death. It is said by many scholars and historians that the Romans are the ones that actually invented crucifixion. They invented it and they perfected it. Perfected it to be effective in the ultimate result, which was death. But it was a long time coming. They perfected that. They wanted people to suffer. They got really good at it. Now the Romans, they couldn't care less about someone blaspheming the Jewish God. It wasn't their God. So what? So they brought him and said, he's blaspheming God. The Jewish governor, Pilate, Herod, they said, and? What's that to us? Go ahead, I don't care, but that's not punishable by death for our standards. So they said, he's telling people not to pay their taxes, which is a lie. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. They said, well, you know, nobody likes to pay taxes anyway. Even if he's guilty of that, it's not death penalty. Then they said, well, he claims to be the Messiah, which means that he would be the king of the Jews. He's claiming to be king. And as king, you should know, Mr. Roman governor, that if he claims to be king, he's going to lead a revolt against the Roman Empire. Now, there was something the Romans were interested in. They didn't want a revolt. They didn't want people rising up and causing insurrection. Now, Pilate, the Roman governor over Jerusalem, he wanted to get rid of this sticky situation, right? I mean, he didn't really want to. He was not unfond of Jesus. He wanted to meet him, and he wanted to talk with him. And he was interested in Jesus, but he found himself in a sticky situation. If I let him go, then the people are going to rise up, and my boss is going to call me and say, how come you can't handle Jerusalem? If I kill him, I really think I'm killing this innocent man. And it shows me weak because I'm really giving in to the people. So he found himself in this sticky situation. He didn't know what to do. He tried to work his way out of it. So he offered to release one of two men. A criminal, one who was convicted of a crime that he really did commit, and then this Jesus called the Messiah, which he knew to be innocent, and surely the crowd wouldn't want Barabbas, Jesus Barabbas. Surely they would say, give us back this man, this kind, gentle man. We'll take him back. We'll deal with him later. That's what he was hoping for, I think. But no, they were insistent. They wanted this man to die. And the only one that could do that at this point was Pilate. They chose Barabbas, a man who was actually guilty of the crime that they falsely charged Jesus with. Insurrection. Now this name, Barabbas, Jesus Barabbas was his name. You might know that in these names that bar, anytime you see bar in front of a name, it means, somebody know? Son of. So like for instance, there's a gentleman named Simon Barjona. He is Simon, son of Jonah. Okay? So Bar in Barabbas means son of Abba. Anybody heard that word before? Abba. Abba Father. Abba Father means father. So Jesus Barabbas means Jesus, son of the Father. There's another similarity with the other Jesus. They were both sons of the Father. Now, actually, Abba is a more familiar term, word for father. It really means like daddy. It's very, very intimate, familiar. And Our Father tells us that we can call him Abba Father. It's very intimate, familiar. So I guess technically, Jesus Barabbas could be Jesus Daddy's boy. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's pushing it too far. But it's that intimate. It's a very intimate type of name. So you have two men named Jesus. Both are sons of the Father. Just not the same daddy. One is accused of insurrection. The other one actually guilty of insurrection. And the crowd chose the guilty Jesus. Oh, how many times have we made the wrong choice? Every time we sin, it's the result of a wrong choice. Instead of choosing the Messiah, we choose what seems to fit our needs or wants that we perceive as needs. You know, sometimes we do that. We say, I need it. There's a saying in our house. When we go shopping or something, they'll bring something up to me. We need it. We need it. We don't need it. We want it. But there's a difference between wants and needs. And sometimes we convince ourselves that our wants are actually our needs. And we say, I need it. I need it. And we really just want it. Can you imagine the conversation that Barabbas might have had? This is speculation. I'm not reading this out of scripture. I'm just imagining in my head. I want to give you a peek into my head sometimes how it works. It's confusing. Okay? But could you imagine a conversation that very might could have happened going something like this? Hey, Barabbas. See that cross up there on the hill? That one right there in the middle? That was the one that was made for you. You see that man hanging on that cross up there, Barabbas? That should have been you. It should have been because you were guilty. You did what they said you did. Oh, by the way, Barabbas, you're free now, right? Tell me what you did to earn your freedom. I'd like to know in case I find myself in the same spot. I want to be able to earn my freedom like you did. How did you earn your freedom? What could Barabbas say? I didn't earn a thing. I didn't earn a thing. Jesus could have gotten out of that situation himself. You know that. Besides calling down 10,000 angels, he could have just been giving Pilate an answer that he wanted. Pilate was still the governor. He could have talked to Pilate, and Pilate could have done whatever he wanted to do, right? But no, Jesus chose. It wasn't as if Jesus was hauled off, forced to go to the cross, and made to suffer and die. Folks, he chose. It was God's plan for redemption for you and for me. Jesus knew. He prayed in the garden, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. It had to be this way. Jesus knew it. He knew that if he didn't go through with this, you and I were lost. Had no hope. He said, it's worth it. I think Barabbas was in a situation where he could look up there and very physically see that cross was made with me in mind. It was prepared for me. It was probably fit to my arms and legs. It's made for me. I should have been there. I was guilty. I did what they said, and I should have been up there dying. But he's in my place. That's why he came, though, to take our place so that we don't have to face eternal punishment. You see, when I said I'm not going to preach about who Jesus is today, I'm going to preach about who we are. We are all Barabbas. We're all Barabbas. We're guilty and deserve punishment. The Bible says the punishment we deserve is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. How has Jesus' sacrifice changed your life? How has the sacrifice of Jesus changed your life? Well, let me ask you this first. Has the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross changed your life? Jesus died for you so that you could live for Him. Are you living for Christ? Or have you chosen the Jesus of your own making? The one who suits your wants. The one who isn't concerned about you living a holy life. This Jesus that we concoct in our heads. He's the one that says, you know, look, I'm just going to save you. But now that I've saved you, you just finish this life out however you want to, and I'll see you again. That Jesus exists, but He exists in our minds only because He's not real. He's alive. That one. That Jesus. That Savior. You see, the devil tells us, well, you can let Him be your Savior, and if you want to claim that, you know, that He's going to whatever. But He doesn't have to be your boss. He doesn't have to be your Lord. You can just, it doesn't have to change anything about anything you do. It's your golden ticket, because He knows that that is not salvation. He'll let you fall into that lie and follow that lie all your days, and He's got a seat reserved for you. But here's the deal. If you're going to call Jesus Lord and receive all that He has to offer, you cannot remain as you were. If there's no change in your behavior, in your attitude, in your prejudices, in your honesty, in your faithfulness, listen, there's probably been no change at all. No change in your hope for tomorrow. No change in your relationships. No change in your morality. And no change in your eternal destination. You see, Jesus did the work that we could not do. And because of that, when we receive Him as Lord, we do the work that we can do. Not to earn salvation, but because of salvation. For a moment, I want you to kind of just, I want you to go to another place. Somehow, you need to close your eyes or whatever. But for a moment, I want you to forget about what you've done in the past. Forget that you prayed one time and prayed with the preacher's handshake and got baptized. I want you to forget about that today. I want to ask you this question. Today, right now, where are you today? Are you different? Have you been changed? Are you done changing? The Bible tells us that when we truly trust Jesus as Lord, that we are a new creature. Different. Let's get honest with God. And let's do that right now. Do we want Jesus the Messiah, or do we want the convenient Jesus? And just for your information, the convenient Jesus is not the Messiah Jesus. Any other Lord, anything else we lift up high, anything else we worship, anything else we put in the place of God, other than Jesus, is a lie from the devil. Sometimes that's possessions. Sometimes that's money. Sometimes that's careers. Sometimes that's people, other people, whether it be friends, family, spouses, children. Sometimes it's other women who are not our wives, other men who are not our husbands. Happening rampant to that. Sometimes it's other things, selfishness. Sometimes I'm more important. Some people might say, well, I'm more important than God. They may not say that, but their actions prove that. Anything we put ahead of Jesus Christ in our life, we've made the Lord of our life. So my question to you today is, which Jesus do you want? Do you want Jesus the Messiah? Or the Jesus of convenience? The one that says, yeah, well, it's all kind of gray anyway. That was a sin. Well, you know, it wasn't that big of a sin. That's a minor sin. That's not what Jesus the Messiah said. Which Jesus do you want today? It's time for you to choose. Forget about what you've done in the past. Because let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you did. It matters who you are. It matters whose you are. And if you're not belong to the Messiah Jesus, you're lost. And it's that simple. Which Jesus do you want? The one who will initiate and bring change in your life? Or the one who lets you remain as you are? Which Jesus do you want? There's only one right answer. And it's Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Lord of all creation. The one who spoke everything into being. The one who is eternally existent, who was before and will be after. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything that is held together by Jesus Christ. That is the Messiah. He has the power to save, and He alone has the power to save. You can't even save yourself. I can't save myself. Billy Graham could not have saved himself. He needed Jesus. The Messiah. Which Jesus do you want today? Father, help us. Father, help us to not lean on an inherited faith, if there is such a thing. Help us not lean on certain actions that we may have done but haven't proven to be true in our lives. Father, help us to not lean on rituals and ritualistic stuff and religion. Oh, Father, help us to lean on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure in the everlasting arms. That's our only hope. Oh, Father, help us to choose Jesus, the Messiah, today. And for all, every day, and for all of eternity. Help us to see, Father, that anything we place ahead of Him is actually who we call Lord. And if we have other lords in our life, Lord, there's no room for Jesus. He deserves everything. Father, help us. Help us to choose. Regardless of what we've done in the past, the good, the bad, the ugly, baptism, whatever. Father, today is the day we ask, what have we done with Jesus? Jesus, the Messiah. Help us to answer that question today. Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand.